Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here, and with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix, then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
What's up, what the fuckers?
Oh, God.
Hey, everybody. No. What's up? I'm Sam.
I'm George. Welcome to Stradio Lab, maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to tell at this point what this podcast is called. This is the third time we've recorded, and each time we only get more and more confused on our point of view and focus.
We see a rigid definition, and we go, absolutely not. We shatter it immediately. And then we start from scratch.
You know, naming a podcast is one of the easiest things on earth. And because it's so easy, it's actually hard.
In some ways, this podcast is a season-long narrative, strict, very scripted podcast about the naming of the podcast.
Yeah. I think the screenplay, is it still a screenplay if it's a scripted podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. The hardcover of the screenplay is going to be flying off the damn shelves.
Yeah, the screen and screenplay stands for podcast. It actually is about how it's audio-based.
So our options are Stradio Lab or Straighter Things, which, you know, actually, I got some input. Somebody on my team actually said they prefer Straighter Things.
Here's the thing, and I have always been team Straighter Things, even though I know why you like Stradio Lab, but I do think everyone I've talked to has said Straighter Things makes more sense.
You're talking to some of the lamest people on earth.
Okay, interesting, because our guest, who we haven't introduced yet, is nodding her head at Straighter Things, and in fact, I would say she's not lame.
No, she is actually saying no.
She's saying no.
And we have to...
She wants the other one.
Yep. So, there you go.
Well, see, that's why I didn't want to have her on.
So this podcast...
Well, we unpack the rich tapestry that is straight culture.
And our complicity within it.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember kind of being in a blackout and writing that sentence down on our shared Google Doc that we now cannot find.
It's lost to time.
It really is.
I love that Google Docs are disposable. You know, you write them up and you just blow into them and they disappear.
Yeah, there's actually no save function.
It's like an old video game.
Right.
You know?
And that's what's really beautiful about it.
You just got to keep that tab open.
So, our sponsor is Google. So, ever want to write thoughts down but then not remember them, try Google Docs.
Google Docs. It's confusing. Why are there... It is actually...
Wait, can I fucking
go off?
Oh, my God. Fine.
Ooh, we should have an alarm we play when we're about to go off.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do that.
Okay, the go-off alarm is blasting right now.
Yeah. So loud.
It's ow, ow.
Oh, God, my ears.
It's actually piercing. It, but Google Docs are actually really confusing.
Why? Wait, is that what you wanted to say? is that you going off on Google Docs?
Why is it so confusing?
But for real, though, wait, one of my biggest pet peeves, have we talked about this, is when someone makes like a half joke and then they go, but seriously though, it's like, just have some self-respect. Let the joke speak for itself. Okay. Everyone knows you're joking.
The go off alarm is absolutely ringing in our ears.
Don't you think? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what my pet peeve is? When people are like, okay, I guess you guys don't use Google Docs. It's like, no, you just put out a half thought. Like, chill out.
Okay. Drag me to absolute hell. Well, the thing is, you said that after saying, I'm about to go off. Do we have the go off alarm?
Yeah, I mean, I built it up too much. I'm not proud of what I did.
Subverting expectations, and maybe that actually is like more funny than if you were to actually go off.
That's true. Do we like our podcast? Be honest. What's crazy is today, yeah, I feel we are on fire.
Absolutely. Well, you're hungover.
Which is, I don't know if you guys know this, what's an aphrodisiac for like being smart? That's what hungover is for me.
An aphrodisiac for being smart. Yeah, no, definitely. You're hungover and I haven't showered, so together, we're actually invincible.
I wasn't sure if I could make it today.
You're wearing sweatpants?
I'm wearing sweatpants.
I am, in fact, wearing a Bernie 2016 t-shirt.
He's been there. He's been there the whole time. George, right. I'm talking about, of course.
Yes, I've been with Bernie. That's why I didn't go to the Women's March, because I said, nope, Bernie.
Oh, God. You excited to vote?
Oh, yeah.
So what do we talk about at this part? We usually unpack what's up with us.
And what's cool is that we don't know when this is going to be released or what order each episode will be released in.
I'm seeing this as honestly ep one. I'd see us kind of Little Womening this and cutting up that timeline.
And you've always had a Greta Gerwig thing about you. And that's why I wanted to collaborate.
Did you watch her Vogue 73 questions?
No, I watched clips of it, specifically one where she just goes, Manhattan. But I don't know what the context is. Someone, oh, fuck, I don't want to.
The question was, where would Joe March live?
Okay, wait, I remember who tweeted it. Patrick Sullivan, shout out.
Definitely love to give a shout out to Patty Sull.
Twitter friend of mine. I'm pretty sure it was him, tweeted when, no, it was not Patrick Sullivan. It was Carrie O'Donnell, a very funny writer.
Oh, you're right.
In LA,
I saw this tweet.
Love. Super smart, super funny, tweeted, hey, when I lived in Brooklyn and people asked me where I worked, and it was just Greta Gerwig saying, Manhattan.
Carrie, if you're listening, definitely smash that RT. This is going to be good for all of us.
Carrie, next time you're in New York, next time you're in Manhattan, you can make a quick
trip. We absolutely have to have you as a guest.
This next guest, one of my favorite guys in the world.
He's huge on Twitter. You're going to love him.
Give it the fuck up. Okay, I'm literally Marc Maron interviewing Brad Pitt and Leo DiCaprio.
I love this. Do you want
to
know?
Did you listen to that episode?
Of course not. Did you?
Yes.
Was it good?
It was extremely good. I haven't listened to WTF in truly over 4 years.
I think the last one I listened to was like Laura Dern, you know?
Okay, that tracks.
Okay, gay bash me.
You were going to say something.
Was I?
I don't know.
I think you had a point about like the Leo stuff.
Oh, no. I just felt like the natural flow of this conversation reminds me of just how enjoyable that one specific episode of that podcast was, and I'm now ruining it.
Oh, okay. Do you want to know what my other podcast idea is?
Tell me.
Tell me if this is stupid.
It's not too late to change course.
I actually think this episode could be sort of a trial run version of this podcast I'm thinking of.
Well, so far everything we've done is in a sense a trial run, and in fact I think we are going to keep doing trial runs for future recordings as well.
Nothing is
and just
set
wasting
in stone.
Our friends' time.
Oh, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, the podcast is called like An Extremely Recent History, and it's about like 2015 open mic scene.
Okay, there is a book by Corey Sika called, I'm pretty sure, Very Recent History, and it is about like being a writer in New York in like 2011.
Oh, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
Sort of a spiritual.
So let's just rip it off.
Hey, the best things are.
And on that note, wait, should we bring in our guest or should we talk about more personal things first?
Bringing in.
Oh my God.
Shut up.
Where George and I are talking.
Go back into your corner. It is not your turn yet.
So George, how is your weekend? Oh my God.
You guys.
No. Shh.
My weekend has been good.
Yeah, fill me in.
I did another podcast yesterday morning where I talked about my...
Oh, we have one sassy guest in the
studio
today.
Oh my God, I literally hate our guests.
Lock her up! But wait.
All I was going to say is I did another podcast where without having that be my intention going in, I talked about my asshole for a full 20 minutes.
Oh, don't you hate when you fall into that?
I do. But that is, I think our guest actually does want to talk about her asshole at some point, so we will get there.
With love.
Well, not now.
Can
oh my
I
God,
leave?
Chatty Cathy.
I think I should go.
Oh my God. I can't hear anything.
Wait,
actually.
What was your weekend like? Ignore her.
It was fine. I hung out with my straight.
Yeah.
I'm for the fans at home, I'm addicted to a straight.
And you know what? That is actually gay.
Yeah. It's kind of a throwback. Makes me feel young again. Sort of high school, college energy.
So let's talk about that. You're someone who does develop crushes on straight men.
Sure.
I would say for me, it's a much more rare occurrence. And then when it happens, it ruins my life. But I've never gone so far as to pursue one.
Well, it's like playing the lottery where it's like you start and you're like, well, of course I'm going to – like I can see like it's going to – I just have to get these four numbers, and I'm going to win. And then you're like, oh, this is actually impossible. Of course I'm not going to get all these numbers.
Yeah. Do you know what fixed that for me is when I was 22, out of college, the first place I ever lived was in San Francisco in like a large house. It was seven people, and it was me and mostly straight guys that were all in a band. Ooh. And they're actually not very successful and live in L.A. But
definitely love to give a shout-out to the Kings of Leon.
But I think that experience of like just me learning to just be one of the guys was very formative in that it taught me. And now I no longer, my go-to when I'm around a group of attractive straight men is not like a sexual arousal.
Unfortunately, mine still is. Mine's like, I'm like, I'll do anything. Just like, let me know. Like, just say the word and I'll do literally anything. And that's sort of what my deal is when I'm around them.
Well, you know what? I think it's time to ask someone else about her opinions on straight men. What do you think?
I think that's actually beautiful. Let's bring out our guest. Undo the lock. Take off the muzzle. She is unchained. We have the one and only Marsha Belsky.
Oh my God, finally. Thank you.
Hi, Marsha.
Hello.
Hi,
wait,
Marsha.
So that means, so you texted me while you were at the bar last night to do this podcast.
Yes.
And then thought you were too hungover to make it this morning.
Yeah, that's exactly. I knew I was being bad. When I was out last night, I was like, I'm being bad. But I was like, who cares?
Like
one more.
You texted me at 1 a.m. Do you want to do the podcast?
Is that true?
I think it was that late.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, because he texted me. I'm going to text he was like, should I text Marsha?
Because somebody.
Sam's like in the bathroom doing coke, texting me, do you want to do my podcast tomorrow?
In fact, this entire day was scheduled while Sam was in the bathroom doing coke.
It
He's
was
searching
11:59.
For the Google Doc. Okay, 11:59. Honestly, honored you were thinking about
me
at that time.
We were, in fact, Sam and I both had planned to maybe spend some time yesterday planning for today.
Right, and then that sort of fell through.
And then Sam ended up going out, and then I was with a guy who was, in fact, gay, as crazy as that sounds.
My goodness.
Boring, lame.
And I had, like, as we were having dinner, I was like, we're going to hook up, but then I'm going to not tell him to spend the night so that I can then, like, do podcast, like go on our Google Docs.
Yeah, that's not for me.
And it didn't work out.
I can't do the like, let's have our little fun and then I get back to work, because it's like if I'm like just in like giddy romantic mode. Me I don't too. Want to like go back into focus. I literally can't. If I have a writing packet and like someone cute shows interest in me, it's like that writing packet's not getting done. I'm right. like, I want to go on a date. I want to somebody look at me.
In fact, for me, that happened with just being invited to a Super Bowl party and not doing a writing packet.
Yes.
So truly.
I'm forcing you not to do that writing packet.
Which one?
I'm not going to say on air.
Can't say it on air. I've not done so much, but literally somebody was asking me, I don't know one person that's gotten a job off of writing. Now some of the Tonight Show people, but I don't know, like everybody else, it's like, no, my friend worked for the show and they told them to hire me.
It's such a scam.
It's such
writing
a scam.
Writing packets fucking
and
are so stupid.
And it's so much work. Like I've spent so much time, like full day job doing shows, actual projects that I'm executing. And then I have to somehow take 4 days to do my own research and write a script for like a Hasan Minhaj like show, you know, like which I would love to work for your show, Hasan.
No, absolutely drag him. Hasan, I wouldn't want to work for your show. You can keep
I would.
It.
I like the format. I like the format of the script, but I just can't do the research element because it's like in the writing room, I would not have to, you know, do my own research. So I don't know why I'm sitting here. Like, give me the YouTube clips. Like one time I did the Last Week Tonight packet and they give you the topic and they give you all of the research that would be compiled if you were in the room, and that was the most fun packet I've ever written because I'm like, I can write jokes,
right?
Give me the research. For Samantha Bee, they're like, come up with your own topic. Oh my god, I literally wrote about the squad, the Echo Ocasio Cortez, and like it was the most hack thing I've ever written in my life. I was so humiliated to turn it in. I was like, take it from me.
The first time, first of all, I can't. A lot of those shows are kind of competing to have me write for them, so I really don't want to say anything in such a public forum.
Yes,
but
of course.
I do remember when Hasan Minhaj's show first premiered and they did like open submission packets. This was 2 years ago, whatever. I wrote my topic on police presence at Pride events.
That's a good topic.
Thank you, but I'm not sure that is kind of the I don't think they've ever done anything.
Right.
Okay, putting them on blast. Have they ever done anything
gay
related?
I don't know.
Have they ever done an
Do
episode
gay
about
writer?
Gay men being attracted to straight men in bathrooms?
Oh, they should, though. Wait,
you're
I'm
allowed.
Also...
You're allowed to be attracted to straight men. You're allowed.
But
it makes sense, though. Now, Sam, when you said that it's like takes you back to a high school thing, that makes total sense. It's like the thrill of like newly coming out and like being into like straight guys. Like, that makes sense to me that then it's like you're seeking that excitement again.
It's psychotic.
And now we're in a, I feel like our culture is like very
everybody going off alarm.
Ding, 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 go off. That's what it should be like. A voice is like, go off, queen.
Anyway, you're saying our culture now?
Our culture in Brooklyn especially is like, I just feel like if I went on a date with a dude where he like aggressively asserted that he was straight, I'd be terrified. So it's like most people are like queer, fluid. So it's like you could go after a guy who's straight, but I feel like in our culture, you'd have like more of a chance.
Wait,
of
I do
being
like
little...
the idea of you, a woman, going on a date with a man and then being like, wait, hold the fuck up.
You're straight?
I'm
truly,
out. Check, please.
I get disgusted. Well, like, not if they say they're straight, but if they, like, assert it. Because it's like, I'll usually be like, you know, I'm pan or whatever. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I guess I kind of am too. Like, and then, but sometimes, like, there was one guy I only went on one date with. And he was like, I've never thought about being with a man. And I was like, oh, you have. The way he was, like, so, like, there was something clenched so tight that it's like, I need to have the sense that, you know, like my last boyfriend that like you're friends with, like he would like kiss guys on the lips. I love it. Like, it's like I want them to be comfortable with gay men. I want them to be comfortable with whoever.
Our friend who you dated like
Tommy.
A year ago. Yes. OK.
Well, it's like if I like
Tommy, definitely smash that RT if you're listening.
But I like
shout out to Tommy.
I can't be with a guy who's uncomfortable around gay men and who doesn't even have male friends, because both of those are red flags to me. So it's like, I feel like when a guy is like aggressively asserting that he's straight, he like hasn't, he still has that like toxic element of like, and I don't have any guy friends either, or like whatever.
I know, but I agree with you, but also straight guys in our culture, go off alarm.
Go off alarm.
Go off, queen. Are now in a weird bind where like,
I know,
neither of those things, like they're getting such mixed messages constantly. So it's like, should they be? Because there's also the backlash to what you're talking about. I've heard many women I know that are like, I just want, like, yes, I want someone to not be, you know, toxic, but I just want a man to be a man. And,
I
like,
know.
I'm so sick of, like, these Brooklyn hipsters.
But
I get that.
I hate that, though, because it's so, like, internal. I do think people are different. Like, for me, I feel like my masculine and feminine side are like constantly shifting and balancing. So it's like
Marsha's levitating.
I'm levitating.
We have decided to ascend.
I am physically levitating over the table right now as I say this, but I look for partners where they have that same thing. But I feel like some of my female friends who are much more traditionally girly, who are thin, who like have always had this sort of like hot girl life, it's like then yeah, they look for a more traditional masculine guy because those men haven't rejected them their whole lives. So it's like I feel like I seek a different type of man because those men were never like, I was never into them, they were never into me, like, you know.
Yeah,
I'm watching Sopranos and
all right, well,
talking about like,
let's turn off the go off alarm, time for a story.
Go off alarm off.
Story time. Jingle plays.
Sam's sitting by a fire and a radio right now.
I always fantasize about being the little skinny girl and having Tony Soprano hold my whole skull in his hand.
That definitely tracks for you.
Do you think that's why there's like this such obsession sometimes with these like skinny girls and like gay culture? I like hate that sometimes where it's like this like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like some of my guy friends make me feel like because I don't dress up like that, that I'm like not part of this.
Some of your gay friends?
Yeah.
Marsha, oh. This is not a space to critique gay men. We're flawless, beautiful creatures.
Right.
I feel really uncomfortable right now.
This podcast is over.
But I think it's because there's still that fantasy of like being the hot skinny girl. Like, and I have that fantasy too. And then it's like, it just sucks because then it just leads to me like hating myself and when I'm in bed thinking that the guy wants that and not me.
Wait, hold on. There's the gay people.
I just went four different directions.
You're being oppressed by both gay men and straight men.
Yes.
In different ways. But
I'm not
in
being
ways
oppressed.
That are,
I'm just like, I'm just going off.
Okay? I also didn't mean you, Marsha. I meant like, you know,
one,
women.
I think it's just the binds where like we all live in the same society. And then in these little niches of culture, it manifests in different
100%.
Ways. 100%.
And I think you're absolutely right about the gay men,
the male gaze of the
gay
men.
Yeah.
However, I also think it's not I think what you're talking about is like one element of like the skinny, hot,
feminine
woman.
Yeah.
But then there's also like gay men being obsessed with like a messy, like,
yes,
older, you know,
Elaine Stritch, Liza Minnelli.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So there's that too. It's almost like there
it's
are
still,
certain
it's still
tropes. Exactly. It's like there are certain tropes that straight men are into that are inherently sexist in some way, or at least like put women in boxes. And then accordingly, there are certain tropes that gay men are into when they seek out like either female friends or female like idols or like divas and stuff. And
I know it doesn't really bother me. It's just like I'm seeing it a lot like in comedy and I'm like, I think like somebody called it like hot girl comedy.
Uh-huh.
And it's like I love all of those girls. Like I think they're all really funny, but it still kind of hurts my feelings that when they say that, I know that I'm not included in that category. And it's like, why? Because I started with men. I dress masculine on stage because that's how I was kind of taught to present myself and internalize stuff. And I like being hot. But it's like I feel like because I'm not going out of my way to present that way that I'm like excluded from this like fun girl thing, you know what I mean? But they don't exclude me, like the people in it don't, and like even the people who like it, I just like, I think it like triggers something in me from when I was like younger where it's like, oh, when you say hot girl, you're not talking about me, you're talking about those girls, and they're thin and they dress provocatively and they, you know, I like all of that.
Yeah,
but it still makes me feel like I'm like not enough, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's also part of like I think the way people have been feeling empowered to refer to themselves as hot in like a semi-ironic way.
Yeah, which I like.
I
like girls wearing what they want to wear on stage and having people not discount them because of that. Like, I like that. And I just like, I like seeing how straight men react to it and get really mad about it. Like,
they,
you know,
get
and like
really mad.
They get really upset. But at the same time, I think there's something in me that struggles with it because I was always so taught, like something in me that I know is wrong, because I was always taught the way to be taken seriously in comedy as a woman is to desexualize yourself. So I internalized that. Totally. And now I think I'm just jealous that there's like these younger girls who are like, fuck that.
Right.
And it's like, I wonder what my life would have been as a girl who started comedy at 19 if I hadn't like done that to myself to fit in. And instead I had like been more open, like, you know, Amy Schumer, if you will.
I just feel like you're so yourself on stage.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like affected.
You are not in,
any way.
The trends.
Maybe that's not, you know, maybe internally it feels like you have to present yourself a certain way, but to me, you seem extremely free on stage. And like,
I like who I am on stage. I think it's just like off stage, like I'm now like building my confidence and feeling like hot and beautiful, but it just like took me so long to get there because guys would do this thing. Well, we're going to talk about straight culture and stand up. Like guys would do this thing where like I knew that I was like pretty like off stage and like that I did okay, like dating wise, but they would act like that wasn't who I was. So like one time I wore a skirt to like a show and I looked good. And somebody was like, ooh, whose leg's over there? And then they all look over and see it's me and they're like, oh, it's Marsha. Like it was always that kind of treatment where it's like, so it was like reconciling those two sides of myself. And I like really admire, but I think I'm jealous of the girls who have never had to fracture their identity that way. But yeah. I also worry that sometimes like, there's just a hard line with stuff like this because it's like, you know, it's demanded of women to be sexual just to exist. So finding that like subjectivity in ourselves, like, and taking the power back versus still just exploiting ourselves for the male gaze and giving them what they want. And for, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's just a hard
line. And I think a lot of those younger comics that you're talking about kind of play with that. Play with
in like
the
a
way,
genius way,
yeah, like with the way people perceive them, which and
that's what drives the straight men crazy,
right,
like
exactly.
Well, I got into comedy to meet schlubs, and I think you know, hot comedy is a scourge.
Interesting. I will say, as someone who started comedy in Boston and in a very traditional,
very
scene.
Ugly scene.
No, that's not what I mean.
Disgusting scene.
It's a very dog faced.
Oh God. In my mind, the Boston comedy scene is like
hideous.
No.
Balding in a bad way.
No, but it's like
impotence.
It's like what you see if you see a movie that's like about comedy and it's like, this is what open mics are like.
Yes.
This is what shows are like. That is what the Boston scene is like. It is very straightforward in a way that I actually found very comforting because mm-hmm. I could like figure out the rules of it. And it's like, I knew that I would go to open mics and work on new jokes. It, you know, at my best, I would go every night. And then by the end of the week, I would have like a new 3 to 5 minute kind of thing that I could then do at a booked show, which was like, in some kind of like best case scenario theater, worst case scenario like bar or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I would like do those jokes. No one would be in any way dressed up. Everyone looked the same. Like it was very joke based and not character based. So like it wouldn't be people kind of like doing anything like playing with the forum in terms of like singing or anything like
Drag
that.
Me.
Oh my God, people have done that to me lately. Who was, I won't say who it was, but somebody, I think not being aware, literally came up to me and was just like, I hate musical comedy. And I was like, okay. Like, and they're like, oh, it's just like every time someone starts singing on stage, just like, no, 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 no. And I was
oh
like,
my God.
Okay.
To be fair, I hate when I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You know? Whenever anyone else does it, I'm like, well, this is bad.
I would say I feel that way about stand-up in general.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
True.
Yes, that.
That is what it
when
is.
When I do it, it's like, this is incredible. This is actually an art form. When
right.
someone else does it, it's like, this sucks.
See,
why do we pay to see this?
I don't have that ego because my mindset is like that if I hate it so much that they probably hate it too. So literally every time I go on stage, I'm just like, and why would they want to watch this? And why am I here? Why are they here? And then
it is crazy that people just go to comedy shows.
I know.
The fact that like we treat audiences like it's like
a given.
Unending resource here. I'm like, no, it's gonna run out. Like,
but I think in New York
there's like 10 people tops that like comedy.
That like comedy. New York humbles you on that because it's like you start doing a bunch of shows for like 4 people and every bar owner hates you and every bartender wants you dead. And it's like then you go to like smaller scenes where they're like, oh my God, the bar we do our monthly show at is obsessed with us. And you're like, what?
I know. They're like kind to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they love us. We bring them business. It's like, yeah, but they're not supposed to like appreciate that. Like, they hate you.
You know, we're being off the rails in a really great way today.
Sorry.
No, in a way that I quite like.
Yeah, thanks for
Maybe Screech, that's a good
stepping on the brakes.
Oh, I was gonna okay, say, can I go back? I like Stradiology or whatever it was.
Wait, I love Stradiology.
Stradiology.
Stradiolab or whatever.
Stradiolab.
And I also like straighter things, but Stradiolab really tickles me.
Obviously, Stradiolab, I think, is more our vibe in the sense that it's so stupid.
Yeah, yeah it's funny.
It's funny.
Which is what we're trying to do.
So
sort
we're
of.
Trying to do.
Sometimes, not so much.
Yeah.
Right. But, wait, we were going off the rails.
No, I like...
You were saying it's off the rails.
Well, okay. And
but
so
you want to bring it back.
The whole thing about this podcast is that we talk about making it while we make it.
Yeah.
One question I had is, like, do we, like, have to do segments? Like, what's up with that?
Thank you for bringing that up on air mid-episode.
I think this is
what
kind
are the
of...
segments? I would love to do a segment.
Do you want to do a segment?
Yeah, because I just ramble, and then I get really scared about what I said and that people are going to, like, take offense to it. And I, like, really terrified of everything.
To be fair, you sound really smart.
I hope not. I mean, I used the word dichotomy. So
when I heard dichotomy, my jaw was on the floor.
When I heard you make up the term Stradiology, I was like, okay, queer studies PhD much?
I'm queering the word. I'm queering the word straight.
Well, I will say one of the segments that is the easiest to do that we have is called Straight Shooters, where we kind of assess your familiarity with straight culture by giving you a series of quick fire one word.
I wonder, like, how entrenched in straight culture I even am anymore.
Let me
talking. He's literally talking.
Okay, keep going. And go. It's my podcast now.
Okay. All right. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm
just
ready.
Whatever comes to mind.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait, I didn't let you finish.
You'll see. You'll see. Okay.
It's like
just
instant
answer.
Association.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marsha. Look at me, Marsha.
Yeah.
Ross, Joey, or Chandler?
Raw? No, Joey?
Okay, Marsha, no money down or 0% APR?
Wait, what? 0% APR.
Marsha, pussy hat or futurist female t-shirt?
A futurist female, futurist female.
Sig, Ep, or Phi Mu?
Are those fraternities? Oh, Sig.
Sig Ep.
Sig Ep.
She's a Sig Ep girl.
That was the bad one where I went to school.
That's the bad one?
Lavender-scented candle or lemon-scented air freshener?
Lavender, candle, always. I mean, that's not even... Come on.
Ohio or Indiana?
Oof. Ohio. My family's there. Now.
Pottery Barn or Restoration Hardware?
Oh. Pottery Barn. I don't like the smell of hardware stores.
If you're on a train and it's going 60 miles per hour, are you, like, thinking about death while you look out the window or just sort of texting?
Death, always.
Young Sheldon or old Sheldon?
young Sheldon.
Okay,
old
she's
Sheldon,
a freak.
Not like that. Ew.
Wow. I mean, I'm out of them. I
trunk
literally
or branches.
Marsha, answer
branches,
the question.
Branches.
That's the correct answer.
Branches.
Trunk is straight. Branches.
Okay, so I think
leaves are.
Leaves are bye.
Leaves are the frosting of the tree. Can anyone?
Oh my god, Sam is so hungover that his brain is fucking dead.
You are stradiologically speaking. Oh, you are on a different plane.
Stradiologically speaking, you are gone from this world.
Oh my god,
I'm like really funny when I'm hungover too. Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's one of our nation's greatest resources.
It's because I'm not
depleted.
Overthinking it.
Yes. Yeah. And also then you're depleted of all energy and then you have like a cup of coffee and then you're literally just a human cup of coffee.
Yeah. Because
there's nothing else. There's nothing else.
You have to choose between like your brain and your asshole. You're like, yes.
Yeah. When I feel like fully like done, like I'm just like, okay, I'm a bad person. That's when I can really get into it. Because if you're like, oh, I want to be good today.
When you... Like, text me and I know you're about to go off. It is one of the most beautiful experiences.
Sam,
of my
you never
life.
Go off over text to me.
Well, I don't know. We have different frames of reference. You
Whoa.
Know?
Wow. Like what? You don't think I would understand you're going off?
Try me, bitch.
Every time I like rant to Sam over text, he always just like replies like, ha ha.
Wow.
Or like LOL.
Here's the thing. I'm when it comes to text ranting, I'm a total top. I don't like for people to do it at me.
That's interesting and true.
Yeah. When people start texting me, I'm like, this is my private phone? Like, email me, I guess.
It's so crazy that there's no the idea of an away message is no longer
We should have away messages for our cell phones. That's genius.
Why
George.
Are we not? Why is everything a constant conversation?
Away ring the going the off alarm.
Go off, Queen.
Go off, Queen.
Go off, Queen. Yeah,
why
that's a
aren't
genius
there going
idea.
Away messages I mean, for phones?
Can you imagine though? You're like texting somebody emergency, and you get a text back. It's like, hey.
It's like lyrics to a Fergie song. Like, Fergie is just.
It's in that like cursive like font with the stars and squigglies.
I would love that. That would be so fun.
And also be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
If this is anybody but Kara, do not message me. Do you remember when you could set your away messages for, like, everybody but one person? So I would, like, say that I was out except for, like, my crush so that if he signed on, I could be like,
whoa, you're a hacker. I never knew how to do that.
Yeah, there was
very
ways
interesting.
To
you know, the movie Hackers starring Angelina Jolie is based on Marsha's
life. It's based
life.
On my life as a sixth grader on AIM. Yeah.
That's another good point. There should be more. It shouldn't just be public and close friends. There should be. It should be like Facebook where you have.
Groups.
Different groups.
Groups.
Because I want to. Yeah. Like
because I need a close so friends student. And then I need a friends that I like very close friends.
Right.
I need actual friends. Uh-huh. I need people I want to have sex with.
That's what mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah.
There do need to be different categories on Insta stories because there are some things where I'm like, I want to share this with my crushes. I want to share this with my friends who I don't need to look attractive to. Like, you know what I mean? Because sometimes I'll be about to share something funny and then I'm like, I wouldn't fuck me. And I, like, don't share it.
Yeah, it's... I wanna... Yeah, like, you should be able to share photos of yourself where you don't look good if it's funny without worrying that someone will see it.
Sometimes I'll post, like, a bad picture and be like, this is good because it means I'm, like, really relatable.
That's yeah. something that's only psychotic? An extremely hot person says. Like, I fucking hate you. Like, that's, like... All my skinny girlfriends are just like, it's funny when I'm ugly. I'm like, I'll tear your neck from your head.
What do you...
Like,
okay, so we're talking about... The topic for today,
the topic is
stand-up
comedy.
The topic is stand-up comedy. One, okay. Nick Nanny coined this phrase, the alternative comedy smile, when people post like,
oh,
like, my show sold out at Union Hall, but ticks at the door.
For people and it's like, who shut are listening.
For people who are, in fact, go on, Marsha.
Well, I was like trying to like describe the face, but it's like, you can't. Like, it's just like... But there's someone specific you're talking about.
No, it's literally anyone who's ever sold out a show who does alternative comedy in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
Sold out my show, it's the like, ticks at the door. Like, look how stupid I look, but yeah. I'm really successful.
That is the entire, like, wait, that's actually so funny. Like, that's the tagline for Brooklyn Alt Scene. Look how dumb I look, but I'm actually successful. But except for it's me at my day job, like, people are like, Marsha, you're successful. I'm like, I'm not. I am not successful. I need money, please.
Oh, comedy.
I like that. Yeah. Well, it's like, it's just interesting how much, like, it's hard sometimes, like, I did this show last year called I Hate Female Comedians, But You're Okay, and it was, like, about, like, when I first started, I really, like, non-gendered my jokes because I thought that I would only be taken seriously if I could have, like, a detached from gender point of view, like, so I was political, but not, like, overtly female about it because I thought that's how I'd, like, earn respect, and then, so I'd get all these compliments of, like, you're actually up there writing jokes. And I appreciate that, you know, like, and so that's what I came up with. And I was young, so I was still like kind of doing this guy's gal thing. And I took it as a compliment, like, but was starting to grow, like, eventually as angry as I would become. But like, so then when I was doing this show, there's a lot of like people who started, I've been doing it for 10 years, who started like probably about 5 years after me. And just the whole scene for women changed in this way that I'm so grateful for. And, like, the queer scene, too. Because yes. It's, like, now, like, my whole... I had, like, a Hanukkah party last year. And I looked up and, like, realized I was, like, there's not one straight man here. Like, that's just the whole, like, scene that we're around now is just not that. Like, there was a comedy civil war. And we were, like, you know what? Y'all are good. You stay over there in the clubs, like, in Manhattan. But, yeah, but these girls were, like, kind of, like, did people really say that to you? Because, like, that wasn't their experience starting comedy.
Right.
Their experience was not this underhanded. Their experience was people, like, in a way, going out of their way to book women in a way that's still unfair because then it's, like, they'd book a girl, and a girl is new at comedy, so she's not a perfect comedian, and they're like, well, we tried, you know? Like, but there's just a lot more support, and it's just a numbers game, because it's like, when I started, I was one of, like, you know, not very many female comedians, and then I moved to New York, and it was, like, everything I ever wanted, where it was, like, so many female comics, all of them, like most of them I found genuinely funny, some of them obviously not, like, but
name them.
And no, that's okay. And but so then it's like, you know, I just got to find so many funny female friends, whereas like in my old scene I felt like there was like three or four of us and I really liked all of them, but you're more like forced together than being able to choose who you fit well
where
with.
Did you start?
Portland, Oregon.
That's right, I knew that.
Yeah, so it's like, and also in Portland, too, like, you know, I like the guys I came up with, but they did have this, like, boys club that they, like, wouldn't acknowledge because they're, like, liberal guys. So it's, like, it's fine. And then it was, like, they weren't – I didn't feel very seen by them. And I felt like if I were a guy, they would have felt more comfortable mentoring me, giving me the spots, taking chances on me. There were two guys who really took chances on me. But, like, you know, the rest of the scene, I felt like I had to be – I always call it the little sister that they want to fuck. You have to be the little sister they want to fuck. And it sounds so disgusting, but it is what you have to do.
No, I actually think that's really cool.
I think it's good. No, but it's like, it is like what you have to make yourself, because you have to simultaneously be sexually available and not. 100%. You have to simultaneously be like cute, but not too cute, you know, like all this stuff. And so it was like, I just felt so trapped, and that I would never, like, I thought I was going to do the club scene, be on Tonight Show, like that track.
Yeah.
Because I'm not alt. Like, I never did, like, character stuff. Like, I hadn't been doing the music stuff at the time.
The alt and mainstream divide
absolutely
is interesting.
Go
it's so changed.
Sometimes, like, actually, I remember Jess Tom talking about this, because they were in some kind of feature or something that was like, these comedians are doing it their way.
Yeah.
And Jess was like, actually, I am a setup punchline traditional
they are.
Comedian.
Yeah.
Who happens to also talk about, like, occasionally talk about, like, being Asian and non-binary.
That's
but
what
literally
it was,
Jess's
yeah.
jokes are very good jokes that structurally are traditional stand-up jokes.
Yeah. Can I go off?
Ring the alarm.
Okay. Here, because I think about this a lot, but I've also been trying to. It's like, I think so much about, like, the tangibles of this career and industry, but it's also driven me to the point where I feel like I've had to let it go. So it's like, this is my last going off ever in my life, but last time I ever talked about it.
Wow.
I swear. No,
you
but
heard it here first, folks.
Hit the alarm extra hard this
like,
time.
This is the, we're retiring the alarm.
So, it's so like identifiable what happened, and nobody wants to talk about it or how it led up to like the Shane Gillis like public blow up and that what they called the comedy civil war, where it's like when I was coming up, like you had gatekeepers, and the gatekeepers were much more powerful than they were before the internet, because they still held the booking power for JFL, which is a huge deal, Tonight Show, all of this stuff that you really needed in order to start working in the clubs, to get your pilot, you know, read by people, to get to that next level. Those people were mostly men who got into comedy to have women as a reward system and to have this certain life that they had imagined for themselves in high school, like rock star life, but without the talent. Like, you know, where it's like they got in however they could, whether it was as a stand-up in the industry, and they loved their boys and the women that would come with it, who were mostly in the background, like who were like producers, you know, worked at the club, whatever. Then when the internet happened, and when you have like the John Early, Kate Berlant type of like alt scene that explodes, which was also partly on the internet, because I remember being in Portland watching their YouTube videos and right. like that's how I had heard of them. Then you have all of a sudden all of these kids are like, wait, I don't have to wait to impress this person. I can just blow myself up, and this whole audience that's been sitting there waiting for me that I didn't know about is going to be ready, and I can build them myself. Because that was the best advice I got. Somebody was like, build your own audience and you can do whatever you want. And then they can hate you, but they're still going to give you a show because you have your own audience, and that's what happens. So then you had like hundreds and hundreds of people doing this, where they've built their own audiences, they've blown themselves up, and all of a sudden these gatekeepers, whose only power was convincing those people that they would never make it unless they channeled themselves through this like you said, like where they can't talk about their point of view in a certain way, where they don't identity politics bullshit, where they anytime we talk about our identity, it's identity politics. Anytime a guy does, it's just who he is, you know. And all of a sudden that power is gone, or a lot less. And those people are freaking out, because all of a sudden they're clinging to whatever gatekeeper power they have. And they've gotten desperate and insane. And they're like, going on Twitter screaming about alt comedy, and they don't even know what it is, because all it is people who decided fuck the gatekeepers. That's all alt comedy is now. It's not characters out there, like, because it used to be Caperlant and John Early, like, their comedy was not on the ground. Their comedy was, like, always, like, there was never a center. It never was, like, grounded to some truth where you had to land the punchline, you know? It was just flowing. That's what I saw as alt comedy. But now I see it just as the people who the gatekeepers were always going to approve of and who are still going that channel, and the people who have decided that they're not going to wait because they know that they can do it themselves. But it's a lot, it's just two different paths.
And this is like a constant cycle that happens where, I mean, the alt comedy boom of the 90s was similar. It was, yes, like, again, people saying fuck you to the gate, to the
Janine Garofalo, like, yes, like people, yeah, like that.
I mean, even our friend Pat Mark Oswald. Maron.
Yeah, Mark Maron.
Marky, baby. Love then, to have you on the pod if you're listening.
In the 2000s, same thing. It was comedians of comedy. It was Zach Galifianakis, like Maria Bamford. But even that was identifiably alt because they were not doing traditional stand-up. They weren't going up there like, what's the weather like today? Now there are some of
that's
us who just happen
set.
To be. I know. That's literally my whole set.
It's but actually now, songs like, about the weather.
But it's hard because sometimes the way the shows are balanced, it's like, you know, it is really hard when, like, Lorelai goes up and they're such a fucking genius and I'm having such a good time watching them. And then I have to follow them and be like, hey, guys, it's me. So I was on the train the other day. Like, and it's like, so it's interesting how we've all been kind of thrown together just by way of the fact that those people didn't want us.
I get so annoyed at being, like, weird. Like, people are like, you're,
yes,
weird. And it's like, I'm doing normal fucking stand-up. It, yeah, drives me bonk. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, I have songs, but it's like, but that's mostly not what I do.
I wish I was weirder. Like, I wish that,
well,
I could kind of like,
that's how I feel,
float.
Yeah.
But then people, it's just interesting because then that has now taken so much mainstream power. Like, Comedy Central and the industry people are not going to the clubs. They're going to Littlefield. They're going to Union Hall. Like, that's where they're going to find people mostly. Mm-hmm. They're not even going to JFL the way that they used to. Like, it's just what has power has changed, but the people who have lost their power do not want to acknowledge that.
Definitely love to give a shout out to Rebecca Trent if you're listening.
We get sued for $1 million. Yeah, but I just, and that was like a long rant, but it's like, it just, for me, having seen the whole trajectory of it, I get really frustrated when these people are like, oh, like, you know, Brooklyn alt, because it's like, you don't even know what it means, because we all know what it means is just that, like, Jess would have had to wait a lot longer,
right,
to come up in those spaces, because they always want to hold your head down like you're a kid on the playground, like, and keep you in your place. And me personally, like, I just got so fucking sick of it. I'm like, I want to do whatever I want. And I'm pretty sure that I'm lucky enough to be alive in a time where I can.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then they're fucking mad and they don't want. They make fun of people who blow themselves up on the internet, whether it's front-facing videos. Like, okay, make fun of front-facing videos all you want, but I see these, like, irony bros who are, like, so fucking mad about it, and it's like, why are you mad? You're mad because that person got successful on their own terms doing something that you can't see yourself doing. Get the fuck over it.
Whatever. Well, she hath gone off.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm
the
sorry.
The go-off alarm is truly sirening.
I'm just sick never of been people, louder. Like, disguising what is really just, like, sexist, racist, homophobic resentment,
yeah,
as alt comedy. Resentment.
It is, 100%, yes. I'm of two minds about, I mean, what you're talking about with the club comedy gatekeepers having lost their power, I think that's, like, part of a broader thing of, like, people having less trust in institutions in general.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I know that's, like, a very
Bernie 2016,
you know, broad, but it's truly, like, and that can be both good and bad. Like, it's, for instance,
yes,
let's say, you know, people have less trust in big journalistic institutions because of the internet. That's both a good thing in the sense that, like, you can
mm-hmm,
pay more attention to marginalized voices that otherwise wouldn't be on the front page of the New York Times. But it's also bad because then if people distrust the media, that's shitty. And then,
yeah,
you get, like,
and in
a
our
rise
situation, it's like you have millions of bad comedians.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. Yeah, it's
like everybody can be a comedian.
On the one hand, like,
guys,
yeah, it's good that there are. It's good that there are, like, there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
As
no,
but
I gotta
but
make
can
some
I
cuts.
Say, like,
I'm gonna be making cuts in the next couple of
we're
months.
We're making cuts this round, but I will say with that.
Wait,
I,
what do you want to say?
I hate front-facing fucking shit. Can I be honest?
Wow.
Can I be
we're
absolutely honest? I think it's like, it gets the amount of attention it gets for what it actually is to me is like not proportionate. I feel like
for the actual
like,
video, sure.
They're like plenty. They're like fine. And then it's like, genius. I love
some of them are
fucking
genius, though. Like, I love Caleb Heron. I think he's so funny.
Oh, my God. Caleb
funny.
Is so funny.
But there's also the difference between the people where they're only funny on the internet and the people where it translates. And I think that kind of shows. I think the front-facing video as a platform versus the actual video itself. You know what I mean? Like,
oh
as a platform
God.
To launch somebody who has potential in all sorts of areas and who just, like, you know, got that attention for themselves. But it is crazy when you'll like see like Lin-Manuel like tweeting like something and you're just, I'm just
please
like
don't
jealous.
Make fun of him.
No, I'm jealous. I want his attention. Every single musical that we do, I tag him. I'm like, I'm saving a seat for you. And he never comes. But I don't know. I get that. Like,
am I
get
mean?
People...
Am I being mean? Am I not allowed
no,
to hate front facing videos?
You're allowed to hate front facing videos because you don't hate them because they're women. Like, it's like, I'll see these bros who are just like, like, the guy who mashed up three, like, it was, like, Alyssa, Rachel, and Ava. Like, he, like, mashed up their front-facing videos and played them at the same time, and it went viral.
Really?
Like, making fun of them. And it's,
oh,
like, you know what? Like, I do think you're just mad that these women have gotten a type of success in comedy that you feel you're owed. And it's, like, you know, I don't resent them for that. Like, I think that, like, they blew themselves up, like, how they could. Like, you know, and a lot of those videos are funny. Like, but that's just
well
me.
It's also specific to the medium. Like, it actually makes more sense to post a front-facing camera video on Twitter than
exactly.
like a clip of your stand-up
people yeah. want. That's the thing too. I think it's the resentment of people. Like, you will spend like a month on like a 3-minute sketch
of
video
course.
That costs like $2,000 and then it'll get 3 likes and then it's like, and if that doesn't happen, it's such a surprise. Whereas you'll think of something funny, film it right away and put it up, and it will go like mega viral.
Yeah. And that's unfortunately how
that's
social
the good
media
and the bad
works.
Exactly.
Like, it's just
I take it back. I love front facing camera videos. I think
no,
they're genius.
To.
I think
I don't necessarily
I, think
I haven't
the medium
done
is weirdly the message and
I get it. I'm not I like
the medium
I
is weirdly the message episode title.
I'm just saying, like, I do think it's like a lot of it's all it's good and bad every aspect of this.
No, it is, and the only and that's why I'm of
yes, good and bad,
good and bad.
Yes, that
and, like and
nuance.
Again, I will say yes.
Everything
like,
is good and bad.
Yes,
everything
fuck,
is
that's
good
it.
And bad. Yes.
Oh, I just learned I don't have to have an extreme opinion on things. I can just think some things are good and
some things are bad.
And that's alt comedy.
And that is alt
oh
comedy.
Oh my God, that's alt comedy.
That's
some
genius.
Of it's good and some of it's bad.
And some of it's bad.
That's incredible.
Well, because I'll explain. It's like so.
For Patreon, on Patreon, we'll list who's good and who's bad of
at
all
least,
our friends.
With alt comedy, when it's bad, it's like awkward and stuff. But with stand up, when it's bad, it's like, oh my God, we're all going to die here. Like, because
yeah.
it's like when you're at a club and somebody starts like going off on like something horrible. And then you're like, and then, oh my God, I love what you said earlier about how you hate when people do the like, okay, I guess we've never heard of Google Docs here. Because I do that sometimes when I'm like panicking, but I love when somebody will be like, so like death is scary, and then just be like silent and they don't get a laugh because it's not a joke. And they're like, okay, I guess death isn't scary to people here. Like,
to watch someone bomb at stand up is one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. It's the best. There's nothing like it.
It's so
uncomfortable.
I hate
so
it
uncomfortable.
So much.
I absolutely also, live for it. When they're just sitting in it and they can't get out of bombing.
Oh my God, it's horrible.
I was doing a show in LA at some kind of bar, and someone was bombing, and it. And people just started talking over him. Like, it was just like, this is over. And I'm not going to say who it was, but it was someone who actually used to, who's like, I would say big in like the 90s. Like,
ooh.
Love it.
Think of
Tony Hawk.
It was obviously not Mark. It was like not Mark Maron, but it was someone who.
Louis
C.K.
And so then he truly was
Sarah
getting.
Sarah Silverman.
He was just like yelling, doing some kind of bit about like. It was not sexist, but it had to do with women enough that people
yes.
were uncomfortable because, like, already he wasn't doing well, and then suddenly he was like,
and then he pivots.
And you know, women, and it's like,
you're like, no.
You're not actually not saying anything offensive.
It was Andrew
it's just,
Dice Clay.
This is not. So then, instead of. So then he just starts yelling louder and louder,
yes,
doing
yes.
his normal material, and starts yelling
louder.
So it's
Louis Black. It's Louis Black. Women!
And then he.
Am I right?
He gets up on the counter. Candy corn. He gets up on the bar. And starts like yelling at people and does this thing thinking it would be funny of like putting his face close to two people that are just talking over, like, that are just having a conversation at the bar and kind of, like, talking at them. Ugh. Because he thought, because, yes, I could see a world in which that would be funny as a concept, but, like, no one's on your side.
Yeah.
So it's just this, like, loud man yelling at two people that are at an ambush show.
Doesn't that scare you when you look at somebody where you're like, you've had everything that I could want in my career, and
oh,
you're
my,
like,
God, I just had that. I did a show with an unnamed comedian who is, like, successful and was so bummed out, and I was like, oh, no, that's
it's
the
terrifying.
Goal. That's what I'm striving for?
No, that's why we have to put our... That's why it's exciting to be in this, like, time where it's, like, we can write scripts and we can develop... Like, we can be... I want to focus on, like, writing so much, because then it's like, listen, if stand-up falls through, I can just have a quiet life. I can just, like, have a nice, nice life. I had the funniest meltdown I've ever seen of, like, an old school comic was Nick DiPaolo before all... Speaking of straight culture...
Now, this is why we have you on the pod. Only you have this type of information.
Nick DiPaolo? Oh, my God. It was so funny. Like, it was at the Stand, like, a few years ago for... I think it was for the JFL audition. No, it was for, like, Comedy Central something. And we had all gone up, and I guess somebody didn't show up for their spot, and Nick DiPaolo was just, like, hanging out at the bar upstairs at, like, 6 p.m. So then they were like, Nick, do you want to close out the show? And he's like, yeah, sure. Comes down, starts doing all this, like, crazy, you know, like, millennial material that was, like, not funny. Because he's just like, it was literally so hack. He's like, millennials are eating, like, tofu. Like, it was, like, hack like
that.
It was, like,
if I
so
had one more person being shit. Like,
it was crazy.
Quinoa.
I know. And so then it was bombing just because, like, everybody was tired. And then he goes, you guys don't understand. Like, these kids, I'm not these kids that are just starting out. Like, I'm a real comedian. And everybody was like, it was so sad. It was the saddest moment I've ever witnessed in my life. And then, like, he had a full meltdown. And then, like, a month later, it was all over his, like, special about, like, Triggered or whatever he called it.
Honestly, cut to 3 years from now, me doing that exact same set. And I'm, like, mad about, like, 22-year-olds.
Yes.
I can't wait.
I'm getting
I made
there.
A vegan. Oh my
I
God.
Cannot wait.
I made like some comment to a friend about, like, veganism, and it was so hack that I felt so humiliated. And I, like, messaged her on Instagram and was like, I am so stupid and humiliated that I'm making vegan jokes. Like, please kill me. And then she never messaged me back. And I'm like, oh, God.
Ooh, legend. I love her.
I'm like, oh, ooh, God.
Yeah. Like, you're blocked on every platform.
Yeah, take that power. Ooh.
She writes an op-ed.
Yeah. Like,
why Marcia Belsky is dangerous for comedy.
She is a hack who makes fun of vegans like she's 12. Like.
Do you find that it's difficult to express that you don't like something because it's hack and not because you're offended?
Yes, this always. I'm never, like, offended. I'm just,
exactly,
like, embarrassed that I'm hack.
No, not with your material. Like, seeing other, for instance,
oh,
there
yes,
are certain
yes, yes.
jokes that are, like, related to gay.
Oh,
classic
yeah,
example
yeah.
is people that are like LGBTQ
yes.
WTFABC.
Like, no, I'm not offended.
I'm not offended. There's no part of me that's like, please don't erase other members of my community. That's literally not. But
yeah,
it is
I'm
just,
actually trying to erase them. I'm yeah. making cuts
Sam's
this week.
Yeah.
In fact, when I erase them, that's empowering.
Sam's erasing the G and only leaving the B.
Oh, God. Or people
oh,
are like,
I love
and,
bees.
I'm guilty of this, but, like, the joke of, like, I identify as XYZ,
oh
and, like,
God.
That is the entire joke.
Yeah.
Of course, all of us have done that at
you know
some
what we
point.
Need
really,
to
I
drop.
Haven't.
You can tell when somebody's new in comedy. It's hard because when you see somebody who's new who has potential, and I try and think, like, I'm so humiliated thinking of everybody who saw me the first, like, 3 years, and then also when I moved to New York the first 2 years, like, and it's just probably like, oh, this poor girl. And now they're probably like, how did this happen? But
yeah.
this,
I
whenever
can't believe
they
I
do
ever
the,
thought I was good at comedy when I started.
I can't, I mean, it's
I, like, thought
so
I was
humiliating.
Good.
I thought I was,
I was
so,
like,
good.
So bad.
Oh my God. But we need to drop the, like, I know what you're thinking. I look like blank meets blank.
Oh my God. Can we just go through some stand-up tropes we fucking hate?
I love it. Yeah, let's go through ones that need to be done.
The thing with I look like blank minus blank is it still is so common.
It's
despite
so
the
common.
Fact that it is the number
I always
one.
Do laugh, though, which is, like, hack on my part. When they really nail it.
Can I say a hot take? When
yeah.
they get it right?
It's funny.
when it's like, you really do look like that, though.
Well, you know, it's a classic. It's like, do you know that...
it's how you show self-awareness up top. That's why they tell you to
it's
start with
truly
that.
Truly like stand-up 101.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's how
maybe
you know.
Say something about how you look.
Yeah. Exactly.
Someone I know that works in food told me that, like, you can tell how good a chef is by how good their roast chicken is, which is like the most basic thing you can make. And
this is genius.
Interesting.
He's being genius.
But that's like what that is.
Oh my God.
What's crazy? Do you
I've
guys,
always heard
have you ever
never
done
order
a,
the chicken at a nice restaurant.
Have you ever done a I look like blank meets blank?
No.
No, because I can never figure out who the fuck I look like. Because anytime people tell me, I'm like, no. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I feel like in my... I don't know if you guys know this, but I was really bad at comedy for a while.
Yes.
I feel like
what was your look like?
I think I definitely tried to do like sort of an alternative take. where I was like, this is going to be sort of a takedown
of the structure. Yeah.
Which was
that's kind of
bad.
What this podcast is, a takedown
it's
of
a takedown
the concept
of the structure
of, podcast.
Of podcasting.
Yeah. And the and just the idea of structure.
Love that.
Yeah.
Our podcast is good though, right?
I think it is great.
Yeah. I think it was up top. You guys were making me laugh so much. I was so mad. I had to be quiet.
I could feel that anger. You've always been jealous of us.
I am jealous.
We're the hot girls in comedy that you're referring to. You just changed our gender.
It is. No, I like. I am. I'm not like. I think it's just crazy, like, to be the idea of being like a 23-year-old comedian. Because I remember.
Can I just say one thing,
George?
I was
be careful.
I was so afraid when I was starting out of like saying the wrong thing,
yes.
doing the wrong thing, pissing off the wrong person. One time I asked to be on a show and basically the guy was like, you're not ready for this show.
I know who this was.
Yes. And also he did not say it like that. He was way more rude and actually like it was one of the most traumatizing experiences of my life.
Oh, I have to know.
But
who.
I'll tell you later. But
it's a psychotic story.
It's insane. Anyway, and then that experience to me. Just that, like being told that, I was like, okay, it's over. It's going to get around like the New York scene that like I think I'm hot shit. And in fact, I'm like just a new person, whatever. I remember in Boston, I would be so, and I don't regret doing that, but I would be so just kind of like
timid, like
not just timid, but like always trying to impress people in interpersonal situations. It would take me a lot to like
ask to be on a show.
No, like I take my time. I would
like,
at least go like twice to the show, get to know the people that are hosting it, and then even then send a tape to be on a show.
But that's I feel bad because I know you're supposed to ask for shows and this is what people are told, but I am literally like furious every time someone asks me to be on my show. Like, and I know it's not fair to them and I don't hold it against the person, but I never ask for shows, so I hate being asked, and it's like it's not their fault because that's what they're told to do, but I, like, severely resent it.
It's crazy. This episode, I learned what nuance is and that things can be
good and bad.
And I think when people are my friends and they message me, like, hey, can I do your show? I'm like, oh, of course. Whoops,
that
sorry.
That makes me feel extra pressure because
really?
I'm like, because sometimes it's like there are a lot, I don't know. Yeah. Like, sometimes then it's like, then I have to fit you in or I, like, and especially on Stevie, it's like there are like these straight guys who I'm like friends with, like asking.
Right, you
to
come
be
with
on
all
it.
This straight guy baggage.
Yeah,
you got this whole squad,
and they're more club comics. And I'm like, listen, no offense, but you have the Comedy Cellar. Why do you need my show at Union Hall?
They're,
like they
yeah.
want both. It's like greedy. I'm like, you know what? You're accepted
greedy.
In that space. Like you're accepted in that space, you know. And also with like when you're starting out, like I do, it's interesting because it's like I feel like you should take what you want. But I took so much time to like try and get there and was also told like one of the main reasons I moved to New York is because, and I've talked it through with him, like we're still friendly. But this guy who was like a decently major player in the Portland scene told me I was nowhere near ready for this big show that they run, that they had booked no women on except for one guy's girlfriend. And I was really fucking pissed off because I was like, I know that I'm near ready, and I know that you would see it for some reason if you didn't think that I was like ornery or like didn't have the right attitude, because if I were a man you'd be like, he's cocky, he's cool, like whatever. But they always thought I had like an attitude problem, probably because I did, probably because I resented the fuck out of them. But like you
but
know.
There's a lower tolerance for that,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like okay, did everyone, I truly have no idea who you're talking about, but it's like, don't all the guys also have attitude problems? Everyone we know, including me, has an attitude problem. That's like, that's why we do this.
That's why we do this, because we have problems, attitudinally.
Yeah, the two guys who were my
age. Comedy actually comes from tragedy.
Like, one of them is...
Well, tragedy plus time, even.
Oh my God, yes. That was the missing link.
Because some people just have the tragedy, and then they try to make humor, and it's like, time, babe.
No,
time.
Wait it out.
You need time. Oh my God, that is stand-up straight culture, where it's like a news item hits and then like 5 seconds later I see like three of the most unfunny dudes
yes,
making the worst takes in the entire world.
And then a follow-up tweet like, just FYI, this joke was meant for my audience who enjoys dark humor.
Yes, it's dark humor.
Oh, we are going off here on the pod.
But I do. It's like, I feel like there's just this, I don't know, I have to try and distinguish between the resentment that was like not certain individuals' faults versus like who, what I'm hanging on to. You know what I mean? In terms of people who told me I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like it grew me into being a stronger comic. Like when I did this taping the other day, I looked around. I'm like, okay, I'm 10 years in. All of these other people, except for a couple of them, are like 5 years in. But instead of being like mad, I'm like, I feel grateful because I'm so ready. Like, it's like, I don't feel that sort of like, am I going to be funny like anymore as much?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I'm actually all out of funny stuff. So I kind of wish I were famous like 2 years ago.
Me too. Someone, the best advice I got in comedy, you'll get everything that you feel you deserve 2 years after you felt you deserved it.
Somebody told me
Well, it's about time for me then.
Yeah, it's actually been 4 years that I've been feeling like I deserve the world, which is kind of crazy.
But it updates because it's like you'll get Clusterfest like 2 years. Like you'll feel like you're ready to be on Clusterfest and then 2 years after that you'll get it. You'll feel like you're ready to have your own TV show because you're already writing on a show. And then 2 years after that you feel, and then by that time you're like, I should be writing a movie. You know, it's like this constant. So I'm trying to just stay in the moment.
I can't tell if I'm like, sometimes I'm like, my sense of self is so insanely high. Like sometimes I'm like, but then sometimes I'm like, I'm an absolute piece of fucking shit. Why would I ever think I deserve anything?
That is how
anything?
You know you're
gay. I fluctuate between those two extremes constantly.
It's, I keep finding myself like getting into little bad situations because I'm like, well, I deserve the world. And then I'm like, of course no one's going to fucking give. Why did I expect that?
No, but you have to. That's why. But that's like your charm is like, I'm trying to find that. It's like, I want to feel like I deserve the world so that I can take the world like for myself. Whereas forever I was just always being like, everyone else deserves it but me.
I think what's really interesting about me is that I do feel like I deserve the world, but I also think it should be handed to me rather than me pursuing it.
Yes. Chase me, world.
Chase me, world.
Like
I'm
actually playing hard to get.
Like, I'm playing hard to get. Please make me famous. Like, I guess I'll take it. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
No, I don't want to be. When I was, it's interesting, like, how the goals shift. Because as a kid, when I was, like, this theater kid, I'm like, I want to be rich. I want to be famous. And now, Bernie 2020, I feel like.
And now, Bernie 2020, yeah.
But I just feel like the goal has shifted where it's like, now all I want is to be, like, financially stable enough that I can pay someone to clean my house once every 2 weeks. Like, that's the only type of money I want, is to be able to, like, eat out twice a week.
Yeah, and for me, Biden 2020, I still want to be successful.
Yeah, I want to be a rich, capital R. I'm talking vacays, baby.
Sam Klobuchar, Klobuchar gay.
Klobi, Klob Nation, rise up. Klob, Klob.
Klob, Klob. Klob up.
Klob, Klob listeners.
Klob Nation.
Klob Nation, tonight we rise. Should we do our like final segment?
I kind of don't want to. Is that crazy?
What's crazy is I don't really want to either, but it's like,
do
we have to?
What's the final segment? Has this been insane? Do you think people are listening to like, kill themselves?
No, I actually think this is weirdly a good podcast.
This is like a very good episode.
When I rant, I feel like people are like, shut the fuck up.
Well, George was like that. I wasn't like that.
Well, we'll cut out all the parts where you're speaking.
Cut out my rants, please. Please, cut them.
I think a lot of the rants you went on could be like sampled in a feminist track, you know?
Oh, like,
sort of like a Beyonce.
Yeah,
this is
thinking.
Less a podcast, more of a visual album.
I definitely think it could be like, well, the dichotomy of hot comedy.
And no, it's like, we teach girls to shrink themselves. And these hot girls today.
It really would work. That's what's crazy.
I don't resent the hot girls. I resent my own
I resent
inability.
Them. I say, get out of my life.
You know, I have started to talk about how much I resent certain people throughout this last hour, and I'm really happy the conversation has moved along
every time.
So I have not had to go
well,
down that road.
I think it's also, like, weird how, like, you'll see there's a lot of, like, trauma porn on Twitter, and then it's kind of like, it is funny, but at the same time, I feel like maybe you don't want to heal if you're, like, getting so much attention.
Okay, Marsha is going off.
Marsha, this is dangerous.
Yeah, I've heard of trauma porn, but I much prefer just normal porn.
Normal
you know
porn.
What I mean? Like, keep your trauma
actually,
away.
Actually, every time
that's
I promote
Twitter
a comedy show, that's trauma porn.
So that union half, maybe
so
takes out a bar.
I'm so stupid, but successful.
So that bell house, ha ha ha, I suck.
I'm ugly, but I'll be in Vogue next month.
Okay, should we just skip our last segment?
What do you
what
think?
What is it? Do it real quick.
Okay, this and if we want to skip it, we could just cut it here.
I hate cutting stuff.
I pray to God nobody listens to this podcast.
No, it's
excuse me.
We don't release any of these episodes. They're private.
Just, yeah, if it's listen, a close friends podcast. Yeah.
It's just for Sam and his straight.
Me and my straight.
Maybe the last segment should be us always teasing a final segment that never comes, and then always messing with the guest.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
we should do
final
it.
Side.
The final segment is okay. Shout-outs. You know, we give a shout-out to a person, place, thing, idea of something we love.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's, you know, sort of we do it MTV, TRL style.
Right,
you
right, got to
imagine that, yeah, you got to yell. And you got to imagine that your whole squad is back home in Ohio and
right.
You're blasting off to them from Times Square, baby.
Got it.
What's
Someone
crazy?
Else start.
Obviously. George is going to start.
No. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry to interrupt.
You guys have another guest after me?
Oh, he might have gone to get coffee.
Oh, okay. I'm very sorry for interrupting.
No, you're totally fine.
Keep this in. I like this. This is raw fucking truth.
Wait, hold on. I'm just going to say we're almost done.
I also have his number. I texted him.
Oh, okay. Okay. Great. Cool. Okay, and
do you have one?
Action.
Do you have a thing? Okay, I think I have one.
Okay, go on.
But what if it sucks?
The one literally cut it.
Okay, ready? This is my shout out. What's up, listeners? I just want to give a quick shout out to the Lady Gaga track that leaked Stupid Love. I think this track is incredible. It filled me with joy. I immediately saw myself in a pool in the summer. I can tell this is going to be an incredible year. When I heard that track, I said, Bernie's going to fucking win, baby. This track, it's a symbol for the whole world flipping back around to normal. And even better than normal, even. Because what I learned in the Trump presidency was that Obama was also bad and normal is bad. So we're going to have something different. Stupid Love by Gaga. Download it. Text me if you want the leak. I love you.
Wow, what I learned. What is it? What I learned from the track is that Obama was also bad.
Obama was also bad. But she did a lot of drone material in the track. Was it a lot about drones?
Yeah, it was actually a lot about war.
That's where I learned about drones.
From Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Love.
Okay, George, your turn.
Oh, God. Okay. Hey, listeners. I just want to give a shout out to my favorite comedian, Nick DiPaolo.
Woo! Woo! We love you, Nick!
We love you, Nick!
I think he has really interesting things to say, and I feel like it's just the beginning for him. One of the really, really top people out there, and I really can't wait to see where he goes. And also, I just want to give a shout out to Hot Girls in Comedy, and I'm really, really sorry that we've kind of been dragging you this whole time.
We love you! We love you! We think what you do is beautiful!
I consider myself one of you. Thank you.
Woo!
I'm, like, so scared now. Did I? Because I don't think I was, like, dragging
them
at all.
No, I think we all appreciate Hot Girl Comedy and what they're doing.
We'll also absolutely cut the segment, but keep going.
Please. Oh, my God.
Although I did like yours.
What?
Shut up. We're not cutting it. We're keeping it. Go ahead.
What's up, listeners? I would like to shout out my late night panic attacks. I've been really having a great time, just having a great day, and then right before I'm about to fall asleep, sitting straight up in bed, unable to breathe, and I have to call a friend, and it's late, and then I'm like, I'm not dying, it's just a panic attack. And so I would just like to thank you for always gifting me with your presence morning, day, and night. And that's it.
Woo!
Thank you, India. Thank you, panic attacks.
Thank you, panic
attacks.
Thank you,
I have to, like, now I have to call somebody and be like, am I dying? And then they have to be like, no. And that's the only way I can, like, calm down.
Well.
For me, it's just like my panic attack is late at night. I'll be like, oh, was everything I've done so far a big mistake?
Yes, that's mine.
Which is crazy because I'm wildly successful.
Right.
So how could that be? But
now I feel anxious.
What's up, listener?
My shout out is always the worst one, and I can never find my cadence.
Bad.
Well,
Sam always does a really good
Sam's
one,
so
then I
good.
Don't know what to do, and then the guest randomly always does a really good one.
Mine's not good. I couldn't think of anything.
Yours was incredible. It was relatable and
it just
moving.
Is more. I think the shout out as a form is so such a Sam thing. It's like it is exactly your sense of humor.
What's up, listen? That's true.
And I'm so like weird about doing any kind of character. Just because I guess I don't feel like I have to hide behind that.
Right.
I heard you do an accent at a Vulture live reading.
Wow. Oh, that's right. I did.
And I was so impressed. I said, George, you are full of little surprises, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, George.
Yeah, something Vulture sometimes remembers and sometimes forgets.
You know, that's what's beautiful about them.
That's right. Shout out to Vulture. Hey, listeners.
Hey, listeners.
What's up, listeners?
Shout out to Forbes' 30 Under 30.
Shout out to everyone under 30. What you're doing is beautiful.
It's so important and great.
You are.
You're not going to change it all.
No, baby. I think the younger you get successful, the better a
the
person
better
you are.
Yeah. I think so, too. Shout out to everybody who becomes a millionaire in their 20s.
Yes, queen.
Woo!
Should we just like end the pod or whatever?
We need to end. Kylie Jenner is actually here for our next
yeah.
episode.
She can wait.
Kylie's in the studio.
Kylie, stop.
Kylie's here and she's pissed.
Oh my God, she's biting her toenails.
Kylie, no, not now.
Kylie, stop it. Oh my
Kylie,
God.
Kylie, with the videos are rolling.
Kylie, the cameras are on.
The cameras are on.
Ugh.
We need to stop.
Okay, should we actually stop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love,
nothing but respect to all our fans.
Bye.
Oh my God, I'm a psycho.